Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Weirs Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis family situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at wvr.org. And now, without further delay, here's your host, Jim Wood.
This morning we are in Daniel chapter 7. And we will probably also look into Daniel chapter 8. But beginning this morning in Daniel chapter 7, this is God's word. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream, and visions passed through his mind as he was lying on his bed. He wrote down the substance of his dream. Daniel said, "In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me were the four winds of heaven, churning up the great sea. Four great beasts, each different from the others, came up out of the sea. The first was like a lion, and it had the wings of an eagle. I watched until its wings were torn off, and it was lifted from the ground, so that it stood on 2 feet like a man, and the heart of a man was given to it. And there before me was a second beast, which looked like a bear. It was raised up on one of its sides, and it had 3 ribs in its mouth between its teeth. It was told, 'Get up and eat your fill of flesh.' After that I looked, and there before me was another beast, one that looked like a leopard, and on its back it had 4 wings like those of a bird. This beast had 4 heads, and it was given authority to rule. After that, in my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was a 4th beast, terrifying and frightening and very powerful. It had large iron teeth. It crushed and devoured its victims and trampled underfoot whatever was left. And it was different from all the former beasts, and it had 10 horns. While I was thinking about the horns, there before me was another horn, a little one, which came up among them, and 3 of the 1st horns were uprooted before it. This horn had eyes like the eyes of a man and a mouth that spoke boastfully. As I looked, thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was as white as snow. The hair of his head was white like wool. His throne was flaming with fire, and its wheels were all ablaze. A river of fire was coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were opened. Then I continued to watch because of the boastful words the horn was speaking. I kept looking until the beast was slain and its body destroyed and thrown into the blazing fire. The other beasts had been stripped of their authority but were allowed to live for a period of time. In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshiped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. I, Daniel, was troubled in spirit, and the visions that passed through my mind disturbed me. I approached one of those standing there and asked him the true meaning of all this. So he told me and gave me the interpretation of these things. The 4 great beasts are 4 kingdoms that will rise from the earth, but the saints of the Most High will receive the kingdom and will possess it forever. Yes, forever and ever. Then I wanted to know the true meaning of the 4th beast, which was different from all the others and most terrifying, with its iron teeth and bronze claws, the beast that crushed and devoured its victims and trampled underfoot whatever was left. I also wanted to know about the 10 horns on its head and about the other horn that came up, before which 3 of them fell. The horn that looked more imposing than the others and that had eyes and a mouth that spoke boastfully. As I watched, this horn was waging war against the saints and defeating them until the Ancient of Days came and pronounced judgment in favor of the saints of the Most High. And the time came when they possessed the kingdom. He gave me this explanation. The fourth beast is a fourth kingdom that will appear on earth. It will be different from all the other kingdoms and will devour the whole earth, trampling it down and crushing it. The 10 horns are 10 kings who will come from this kingdom. After them, another king will arise, different from the earlier ones. He will subdue 3 kings. He will speak against the Most High and oppress his saints and try to change the set times and the laws. The saints will be handed over to him for a time, times, and a half time. But the court will sit and his power will be taken away and completely destroyed forever. Then the sovereignty, power, and greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven will be handed over to the saints, the people of the Most High. His kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom, and all rulers will worship and obey him. This is the end of the matter. I, Daniel, was deeply troubled by my thoughts, and my face turned pale, but I kept the matter to myself. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word.
Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood is listener supported. If you would like to help, please get a pen and paper so that I can give you our contact information. You can make a difference in the lives of those who hear this message and the lives of children at Wears Valley Ranch. We are grateful for gifts of any amount. Please visit us online at wvr.org. That's wvr.org. Or send in a donation to Wears Valley Ranch at 100 One Fine Place, Sevierville, Tennessee, 37862. That's Wears Valley Ranch at 100 One Fine Place, Sevierville, Tennessee, 37862.
To step out of my comfort zone, to the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Have you ever wished that you could know the future? Is this a good time to buy stocks? Who's going to win the Super Bowl this year? Am I going to get married? Who will I marry? I just want to know the future. All I'm asking is a little information here. God knows the future, so why can't I? Well, for one thing, I want you to see that if God were to show you more than he already has, which is what he did with Daniel, you might not feel so good. It might be deeply disturbing to you as it was to Daniel. And as a matter of fact, in the end of chapter 8, Daniel has seen more visions now in chapter 8, and here's his summary. At the end of chapter 8, verse 27, I, Daniel, was exhausted and lay ill for several days. Then I got up and went about the king's business. I was appalled by the vision. It was beyond understanding. Did you hear that? I was appalled. I was just sickened by what I saw. It was beyond understanding. God revealed stuff to Daniel in a way that very few people in all of human history have ever experienced. Daniel got a whole lot more data about what was coming than most people that God revealed things to. Joseph certainly was given the ability to interpret dreams back in Egypt. You remember that? When he was a prisoner and he comes out and he speaks to Pharaoh and interprets the dream and tells about the 7 years of abundance followed by 7 years of famine, and here's what you need to do in order to get ready for the years of famine and all that. God, from time to time, gives people a glimpse of the future. But it's not always happy news. I mean, If you knew how you were going to die, would that make your day? If you knew when you were going to die, would you live more wisely, or would you be tempted to be even more stupid than you currently are? I mean, how about it? If you knew that no matter what, I've got another 30 days, wouldn't you want to go skydiving without a parachute? I mean, it's just, I'm invincible. And you know what? Here's the thing. God knows the future. He's already written it. And I am not going to do what a lot of wonderful Bible teachers do, and that is explain the meaning of all the beasts and who all these folks are and the breakup of the Roman government. And I mean, if you want to know all those things, listen to any number of other wonderful broadcasters, okay? Because they've got it all figured out. Now, they don't all agree with each other is exactly how it works, but particularly about the stuff to come. But I will tell you this. As you read through the rest of the book of Daniel, so much of what Daniel said was going to happen was fulfilled in such exquisite detail that there are a whole lot of people who don't think Daniel could possibly have written this book. I mean, it's that good. They look at it and they say the only way that this book could have been written by Daniel is if somehow God told Daniel what was going to happen. Well, that's the point here, folks. That is what happened. And when it comes to the authorship of Daniel, there is one very knowledgeable source that really, for me, just kind of seals who wrote the book. His name is Jesus, and he refers back to this book as having been written by Daniel the prophet. So, I mean, for me, my feeling is, if Jesus says so, that settles it, right? So, we can look at these various beasts. First was like a lion, had wings of an eagle. Well, have you ever seen a lion with wings like an eagle? I mean, what he's saying is, this was kind of like this, but it had this, and then this happened. I love this. The first was like a lion, had the wings of an eagle. I watched until its wings were torn off, and it was lifted from the ground so that it stood on 2 feet like a man, and the heart of a man was given to it. Well, that's as clear as mud. You know, I mean, and the thing is, Daniel's not saying, and it all made perfect sense to me. Now, I have never experienced this kind of apocalyptic dream. I have had some amazing fulfillment of dreams God put in my heart. Ware's Valley Ranch is the fulfillment of a dream that God put in my heart. We had prayed for about 100 acres of land with about 40 of it in pasture, preferably in the mountains. We were given a deed that said it was 104 acres, that's about 100 acres. 38 of it was in pasture, that's about 40. And it wasn't just preferably in the mountains, it was in the mountains adjoining the Great Smoky Mountains National Park, which is the most popular mountainous area in the Northern Hemisphere. God said, here you go. Well, now, let me just ask you a question. Do you think that God heard my prayer for about 100 acres with about 40 acres of pasture, preferably in the mountains, and said, oh, let me see. Where do I know a place like that? Oh, gosh, let's see. Maybe I should look in the Smokies. Do you think that's what happened? Or do you think God put that dream in my heart? You see, God gives the dream. He doesn't just answer prayer. He teaches us how to pray in accordance with His will when our first and greatest desire is to do His will. If you delight yourself in the Lord, He will give you the desires of your heart. It doesn't just mean He'll give you what you desire. It means He'll cause you to desire the things that please Him. So that what you want is that which God has ordained. This dream, these dreams that Daniel had, these visions that he had, they were from God. And God didn't give this to Daniel just so that he would know what to do in his lifetime, because much of what Daniel saw pertained to the distant future, and he was told that. There was a whole lot of what he saw that pertains to our future. There is stuff in Daniel that is still yet to be fulfilled in the last times. But the thing that we all desperately need to understand when we study this is the future has already been determined by God. I know people who are frantically working to try to prevent the rise of the Antichrist. I'm thinking, why do you think there's going to be an Antichrist? Well, the Bible warns us there's going to be an Antichrist. Yes. So if the Bible warns us there's going to be an Antichrist, what makes you think that there's something you can do to prevent his rise? I mean, how's it? God has the future well in hand. It's all under control. God is not nervously pacing in heaven saying, okay, boy, I just know there's something I've forgotten. Okay? He's not trying to figure out how he's going to bring it to pass. He isn't figuring out how he's going to tie together the details. God has the entire thing planned out. It's all going to go off like clockwork. Absolutely, perfectly timed down to the last detail. And you know what? If you read the book of Daniel, you find out that God told us in the Old Testament book of Daniel about when Jesus would come on the scene and when he would die. God gave us details about the appearance of Messiah, and there's rabbinic writing prior to the time of Christ that had to do with when the Messiah should be expected. Jesus said, you know, if they didn't believe Moses and the prophets, they're not going to believe even if somebody rises from the dead. You know why? Because they didn't believe Moses and the prophets, and they didn't believe even when someone rose from the dead. God had already told them what to look for. God had given them clear indication of what was coming, and they did not get it because their eyes were blinded. And even when they knew Jesus had risen from the dead and the guards came and told them about what had happened, they didn't repent. Instead, they bribed the guards to lie about what had happened. Because knowing that Jesus is the Messiah and that they had killed him did not bring them to repentance, because apart from God's grace giving us new hearts, we're hostile to the truth. We're blind to the truth. We don't want to know the truth. And when you look in the book of Revelation, what is going to happen at the end of human history? As people experience the wrath of God poured out on the earth, and they know that it's the wrath of God being poured out, they don't repent. They curse God. They curse God. Because it's not about giving people more information. Boy, if we could just make people understand. Well, you know, you're talking to corpses. Spiritually dead in trespasses and sins. Unless God takes the blinders off our eyes, unless God takes away the heart of stone, gives us a new flesh, unless God regenerates us, we are blind, incapable of understanding the things of the Spirit. That's what the Scripture says. God's in control. So, the summary statement. God has already determined the future. Therefore, we do not need to fear future events. Because God's already determined it. Now, does that make us a bunch of fatalists? Just, well, whatever will be, okay, sarah, sarah. Like the old song says, que sera, sera. No. We're not fatalists. A fatalist thinks that there's this blind, impersonal force that just somehow it happens. We know that we have a loving Heavenly Father who knows how many hairs are on our head. He knows everything about us. And He is personally, intimately concerned about what concerns us. He has a plan, and His plan is for our good. That's not at all like fatalism. Folks, if you're trusting in Jesus to save you, if you're trusting in Jesus to save you, then guess what? You don't have to be afraid of the future. Because it's all going to go down exactly the way it's supposed to go down. But I think I may have some health problems developing. Well, would you rather die in a car wreck? I mean, would you rather a tree fall on you? Well, how would you like to go? Let me tell you something. In all likelihood, a bunch of us are going to die. Last time I checked, the rate was 100%. Okay? So if you sit around thinking, oh boy, if only I knew. Well, how would that help you? You don't need to know how you're going to die. You don't need to know when you're going to die. You need to know who your Lord and Savior is. And you need to live every day for Him so that whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you drink, whatever you do it all for the glory of God. I don't know how much time I've got. I just want to make the most of every moment I've got. I want to serve Him. I want to please Him. And when you're living to please Him, you don't have to worry about the future. You don't have to be afraid.
Oh, but it looks like the economy is really in trouble.
Yes, I'm glad you noticed.
Why? Why are you glad I noticed?
Because then you won't set your affections on things below. Instead, your affections need to be on things above. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame. You and I are supposed to follow Him. Keep our eyes fixed on Him. And when we do that, we may, like Daniel, have some really scary stuff. God may give us some glimpses of the future. But even when God tells us more than we want to know, which He did with Daniel, God's word is still true. Got that? Daniel was appalled by what he saw. He lay ill. He was deeply troubled. His face turned pale. I mean, does that sound like, you know, yeah, man, I wish I could be like Daniel and get, you know. Oh, I don't think so. It made him feel ill. But then he got up and went about the king's business. In other words, even when God tells you what's going to happen, there's still work to be done. And we need to get busy doing what we've been given to do. I'm a little nervous about the future. Well, don't be. God's got it all under control.
Yeah, but it looks like it could be really tough.
Oh, it will be. He said so. Jesus said, they hated me, they're going to hate you. In this world, you're going to have tribulation. Don't be afraid. I've already overcome the world.
But Pastor, what, do you think there's going to be suffering?
Oh, absolutely. But I honestly would rather suffer for doing the right thing than just because I made a bunch of stupid mistakes or was afraid to do the right thing. It's a privilege when you suffer for righteousness' sake. And suffering is coming. It's going to be hard. But it's going to be a whole lot better for those who suffer for righteousness' sake than for those who just have to endure the crumbling of the civilization because we as a people have turned our backs on God. And I'm telling you, folks, get ready. Get ready. Things are going to be tough. And God is in control.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments that you want to make, I want to invite our listeners to call 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE.
or contact us on the web at wvr.org.